Let us pray. Oh, we'll clap for her again. Okay. Let us pray. Gracious God, bless the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts, that they might be acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. When I was young, I enjoyed playing a board game called Chutes and Ladders. Now, I'm thinking some of you remember this game. Want to raise your hand if you remember. It might be new to others, so I'm going to explain it. The game is very simple. Even very young children can play it. The object is to get from the bottom of the playing board to the very top using the ladders that are drawn on the board. There's a spinner, and when you find what number you get, you move forward the allotted spaces, careful to avoid landing on the spaces where the chutes are, or slides, because if you land there, you fall all the way back down to the chute, the bottom of the chute, and you have to pick yourself up and start all over again. Sometimes you get to the very top of the board and land on that chute, and you go all the way down to the beginning again. After playing Chutes and Ladders many times in a row with my siblings, we would just for fun reverse the rules and have the ladders be the chutes and the chutes be the ladders. We usually assume that ladders are for climbing up, but why can't they also be for climbing down? In worship this summer, as Pastor Karen shared earlier, we have been on a journey with the people that we find in the book of Genesis, the very first book in the Bible. We have heard about God creating the world. We've spent time with Noah and Abraham and Sarah and their sons Ishmael and Isaac. And today we find ourselves with Jacob. Jacob's story is about chutes and ladders and the unexpected ways that God works in our lives. In the story, like in the game I mentioned earlier, we assume that ladders are meant for climbing. We even have ladders right here in our sanctuary and around the building. It's a symbol for this entire sermon series. And of course, we assume ladders are meant for climbing. But this ancient story in Genesis reveals that Jacob's ladder does not begin with Jacob climbing. It begins with Jacob sleeping. And the ladder does not represent the means by which Jacob can get close to God, but rather the means by which God can get through to Jacob. Let's review the story a bit before we get to the latter part. Jacob and his twin brother Esau were born to Isaac and Rebekah. That makes them the twin grandsons of Abraham and Sarah. Jacob was the younger of the twins, and he stole his older twin brother Esau's birthright and father's blessing, which was very important in those days. Jacob was the younger brother who played his nearly blind father Isaac for a fool, tricking Isaac into thinking that he was Esau so that he could get that parental blessing. Jacob was the grabber. He was born hanging onto the heel of his twin brother Esau, trying to pull his way to the front. Jacob was the one who thought life was all about climbing the ladder to get ahead and to get what he most wanted. Now, all of that background provides the context for this dream that Jacob had about the ladder. It happened just after Jacob ripped off Esau for the second time, and he was making a getaway to the north, assisted by his mother, Rebekah. He'd left so quickly that he didn't even have time to assemble a bedroll. Using a stone for a pillow, he prepared to go to sleep. And contrary to our belief that the guilty should toss and turn all night long on account of their conscience, Jacob drifted off to sleep and slept like a baby, which is when he dreamed about the ladder or the staircase that bridged the distance between earth and heaven, with the rungs being used by large numbers of angels racing up and down, and beside Jacob stood God, having descended the same ladder. But instead of giving Jacob the dressing down that he deserved, God says to Jacob, "Not only will I accompany you always, but I will protect you and I will bring you home." And the surprising thing is that Jacob didn't climb that ladder to God. Instead, God climbed down the ladder to Jacob right there in the middle of nowhere in the desert. God climbs down the ladder into Jacob's life to bless him, telling him, "I'm with you always, I will keep you, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We expect that Jacob will have a long climb ahead of him. After all, that hymn we just sang says, "Every round goes higher, higher." We are climbing Jacob's ladder. We assume it's all about us and our accomplishments. We assume it's all about our climbing. But the truth is, this ladder is one we don't have to climb. Instead, God comes down the ladder to us. Instead, God comes down to us and blesses us right in the mess where we are living. This ladder, it turns out, is not for climbing, but rather a way for God to get into Jacob's life and his heart. This ladder, it turns out, is not for climbing, but rather is God's way of telling Jacob that there are still a few things in this world that you can't climb up and get. This ladder, it turns out, was God's message to Jacob's very heart and soul. Jacob sleeps and dreams, and God climbs down the ladder and stands with Jacob. It's very surprising, because like Jacob, we too assume that ladders are meant for climbing. Like Jacob, we assume that it's all up to us and our abilities and our efforts, that it all depends on us. We spend our lives focused on whether we have the right technology, the strength, the knowledge, the will to climb higher and higher, the faster the better. But the truth is, God, the God of Jacob, comes down the ladder to us. The truth is that the God is the one who comes to us, one who, along with Jesus, says, "No climbing is involved. I am with you. I will keep you, and you will dwell in my house forever." This is the truth. And it surprises us each and every time. God's amazing grace, which is free and unconditional, no climbing required. All it requires is our open heart and our willingness to receive this gift of grace. It sounds simple, but of course, it's not so easy for us to receive this gift, because first, we have to get off the ladder. We have to let go of the rungs and stop our climbing, for we can't hold on to the ladder and also receive God's gift at the same time. Too much is in our hands to receive the gift. Like Jacob, in order to receive God's presence and amazing grace, we have to stop grabbing for everything we think we need to get ahead. We have to let go. We have to trust. We have to believe. Out there in the wilderness with a stone for his pillow, Jacob lets go of the ladder. He stops climbing and he opens his heart. Out there in the wilderness, Jacob wakes up from his dream and says, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it." Fully awake now, Jacob makes a decision to change his life. Jacob decides right there and then on different life goals, a new way of living without ladder climbing. Right there in the wilderness, Jacob makes a promise to God. Now, of course, Jacob being Jacob, it's a conditional promise and one that he will have to revisit again a couple of times before he gets it right. But the point is that he begins a new life and he steps off the ladder and he stops climbing. And if you read the rest of his story in Genesis, you will see that it's a process, this letting go of the ladder, living without the climbing thing. But for the moment, Jacob says he's going to live differently, and he's going to live with God. To mark the moment, Jacob takes his stone pillow and pours some oil on it and puts it on its end in the ground. He then proclaims the unknown spot to be called Bethel, which means house of God. Bethel, house of God. Jacob's, whose whole life has been about climbing and knocking people out of his way to get what he wants, whose whole life has been about grabbing and hanging on for dear life, Jacob declares he will get off the ladder and live with God in his heart. Climber no more if God will be with him. Of course, God will be with him. That was what God's coming down the ladder was all about, but Jacob doesn't know that yet. And sometimes we forget this as well. The God of Jacob is one who comes down the ladder to us. The God of Jacob, our God, is one who comes to us and declares, if you too let go of the ladder and live with me, I will be with you always. I will keep you and you will dwell in my house forever. Perhaps best known for being played as the great ship Titanic was sinking, the hymn, Nearer My God to Thee, was written with Jacob's story in mind. Poet and actress Sarah Flower Adams wrote the words when her pastor said he would be preaching on the story of Jacob at Bethel, and he couldn't find a fitting hymn to close the service. That happens sometimes. I call Kyle and say, help me. The talented Sarah picked up her Bible and read this story of Jacob's dream over and over. And then she picked up her pen and wrote the complete five stanzas of this hymn, all poured out in one sitting. Listen to the words. Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. E'en though it be a cross that raiseth me, still all my song would be nearer, my God, to thee. Though like a wanderer the sun gone down, darkness be over me, my rest a stone, yet in my dreams I'd be nearer, my God, to thee. There let the way appear steps unto heaven. All that thou sendest me in mercy given angels to beckon me nearer, my God, to thee. Then with my waking thoughts, bright with thy praise, out of my stony griefs Bethel I'll raise, so by my woes to be nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer, my God, to thee. Nearer to thee. Like Jacob, we too assume that all ladders are for climbing. We make our plans, we set our goals, always with the climb in mind. God surprises us by being nearer, coming down the ladder to us and inviting us to live anew. May we, like Jacob, let go of the rungs, mark the spot, and vow, the Lord shall be my God. Amen.